This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
You know something? We are going to look for this week and next week, we're going to look at the book of Jonah, which is this beautiful story in two acts that tells us so much about obedience and compassion and a number of other things. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Jonah. That's back there with the rest of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, but also in your outline you're going to see. And by the way, some of you are looking at, you're going to look at the screen here and you're going to see, we're going to try this for a couple of weeks. And what we're going to depend on some feedback on this. And if you like having a screen up there with the speaker, then you tell us. If you hate it, tell us that. Some of you are, I'm sure there'll be a variance of opinion, but we're trying to figure out whether this will be a good thing or not. All right? So let's pray. Father, come and help us to understand your word. It's not so much what I say, but what the Spirit of God will say in hearts now through your word. So we depend on you to do exactly that, Lord. Speak, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, I want you to know, this may surprise you, but I know what it means to disobey the Lord. And sometimes when I've disobeyed the Lord, it's been a kind of a small resistance to his will. You know what I'm talking about? Something small. I've had more than one time, for example, when God was speaking to me about, you know that person over there, Art? I want you to go speak to that person about me. And inside I'm going, well, Lord, I don't know that person. He's a stranger, and what is he going to think? And I just resisted that. Things like that. That happens in the Christian life. But also, I'm going to confess that I've done more than just a little resistance. I've actually had a little rebellion going on. Often, usually it was quite short rebellion, you know, something like, I'm just going to really resist God until I can get through and give into this temptation, whatever it is. Or I can resist God to get my way for a few hours. But I want you to know too, you and I, you know, we all know that it can go beyond that. We can live a lifestyle of disobedience where we just say, God, I'm a Christian, yes, but I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to do my own thing. And it's going to be my way. So, you know, when you get those Holy Spirit emails and, you know, you just start deleting them before you open them up. And if you do happen to open it up, as soon as it says something that you don't like, you hit the delete button. You and I, we all know that somehow we need to do what God tells us, and yet we don't always make that happen. That's the reason the theme of Jonah is so important, because in these first two chapters, we see a guy who must obey God, but decides not to. And because he does, we see some reasons why obedience is so important. As we look at this, these lessons today, yeah, it's all about obedience. And of course we should obey God because he's God and we're his kids. But more than that, there are some clear reasons why it is so important to obey God. So let's look at it together. First reason that we got to obey God, according to this passage, when we obey God, we get to partner with God. Look at the scripture in Jonah 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. You see, God had a plan for Jonah, and he wanted Jonah to be a part of what he was doing in the world. How cool is that? When God says to us, hey, I have something for you to do. And the word of the Lord comes to us, and we begin to say, oh yeah, here's what God has for me. You see, all the way through the Bible, you see how God partners with men and women to get the job done, all on, you know, he gets the agenda on this planet done through you and me. From Abraham to Moses to Peter to Paul, you see it over and over again. God has an agenda, and he gets that agenda done through you and me. He comes to us and said, I got a job for you. And we get to be a part of God's program. We get to be a part of his agenda. So when the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear and says, okay, I want you to mentor that person, or I want you to be a part of that ministry, or I want you to forgive that person and restore relationship with them, we know then that we're partnering with God for something that he wants to do. Now, here's the problem with all of that. And the problem is pretty clear. Obedience often moves us out of our comfort zone. You've got to understand, that's what happened to Jonah here. God asked him to do something, and it went totally out of his comfort zone. Remember that Jonah was primarily a prophet of Israel to Israel. And at the time that he was a prophet, he prophesied during the rule of King Jeroboam. He was an evil king, an evil reign. And Jonah thought, well, man, I know my job. I know what I have to do. I know what I like to do. And I'm pretty good at it. So this going to Nineveh thing just does not make sense to me. God asks him to do something that's really quite outside his comfort zone. Why? Well, Nineveh was a city. It was one of the largest cities of that day. It was probably about a 500,000 people. It was the capital of Assyria, which was Israel's main military enemy during this time. So God was sending him to the enemy. And the point is, yeah, he told him, but it wasn't comprehensible to Jonah. It wasn't comfortable for Jonah. And he began to resist it. We're going to see that in a few moments. Jonah heard God perfectly. Nineveh's wickedness is coming up before me. And so Jonah is a little frightened here about what will happen if he goes and speaks to him. And he resists it. He heard the commands, but it wasn't a part of what would be comfortable for him. Now, friends, you and I know something. We know that we have comfort zones too. Here's Jonah saying, man, it doesn't feel right to me to go preach to my enemies. But not only that, think about it. This would have been a monumental hassle, if you really think about it. Where God wanted him to go was 500 miles away. It would have taken him a month to get there. When he got there, he had to preach to 500,000 people. Man, there's no bullhorns. There's no public address system. There's no buses to get around him. It's a big hassle. But God had something to do. But we have comfort zones too. Jonah resisted. What are our comfort zones? What are the things that we're not too happy about having to do? Well, I would say one of the things, we have a financial comfort zone, don't we? Well, we don't want God to get his hand on our wallet because, you know, it's not very comfortable for us. We also have what I would just call priority comfort zones, where we just don't want God to mess up our schedule. You know, I mean, hold it, God. You know, you know, I have things to do. You want me to drop those things and do your thing? We also have, I would just call them social comfort zones, where there are certain kinds of people we don't want to get involved with, socioeconomic or ethnic background. I mean, I just don't want to get involved with those people, God. And then there's just something I just call the happiness comfort zone, where we just don't want to do anything that will make us what we think will be unhappy. Oh, God, I'm doing this and that feels good. No, don't do that. I want you to do this. Oh, I'm happy. See, we can move out of our comfort zone. Listen, obedience. Here's the thing you got to know. And this is what Jonah's going to tell us. Obedience, we find, is always the best way to go with God. It is always the best way to go. And in fact, every time God has asked me to do something, to get involved with what he's doing, you know what has happened to me? I've been involved in some little mini adventure that has changed my life in small ways and in big ways because I've been willing to partner with God. Whether that's been something as big as planning a church or giving money someplace that God wants me to give it, whatever it is, it's changed my life. Now, it's not always easy, though. But believe me, it is always best to do what God asks us to do. Do you know, many of you have heard of the missionary Jim Elliot. When he, just before he married his wife Elizabeth, he wrote in her college yearbook. And the reference that he left in her college yearbook was 2 Timothy 2:4. I have it in your outline here, but here's what it says. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. And a way to paraphrase that is this. A soldier must be wholly at his commanding officer's disposal. Do you know when a soldier goes to Iraq, he probably is moving out of his comfort zone, all right? And yet, he has to do, wants to do what his commanding officer wants him to do. He is at his disposal. And spiritually, that's true as well. Of course, some things are going to be a little uncomfortable for us. And yet, we need to be at our commanding officer's disposal. We ought to be able to do what God tells us to do. When we do, we get to partner with something that God is doing. And sometimes that's a task. Sometimes perhaps it's a moral or ethical constraint. Sometimes it could be something like, hey, listen, I've got plans for your marriage, and I want you to partner with me in that marriage. You stop being disobedient, you obey me. And what happens? Yeah, it's out of our comfort zone, it's a little pain, and yet God does something. And I want you to know something here. God at the beginning doesn't really tell Jonah a lot of what he's supposed to do. I mean, he doesn't give him a big rationale. He just says, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Well, if you think about it, when commanding officers give orders on the field, they don't usually say, listen, I just want to be stopped here. Some of you may want to know my deepest rationale so you can feel comfortable with my orders. If that's true, would you raise your hand now and I'll just answer all your... No! The commanding officer says something, man. That's the way to go. And God is gracious. Sometimes he will tell us, you know, what his full rationale is. But man, and he does that later on with Jonah. But what he really expects is, man, kid, I want to partner with you. I want to do something with you. So when I speak to you, I expect obedience. Now, can we get real for a moment? Let's admit it. I mean, we're all going to disobey God once in a while. We know that. We're going to go our own way. But I want you to think of obedience in terms of parenting. There are a lot of parents in this auditorium. There's a lot of parents listening to me on the podcast. What do you really want to see in your kids? Isn't it true that what you want to see in your children is you want to see a heart of obedience? You want to have a heart to obey. Now, when kids have a heart of obedience, will they make mistakes? Yeah, they will. They'll occasionally make a mistake. Will they even, because of their own immaturity, sometimes disobey? Sure they will. Absolutely. But when they have a heart to obey, they get back on course. Now, that's a little different from the child who does not have a heart of obedience. To that child, obedience is just a game. If they can get away with something, they're going to get away with it. If they can do something that mom and dad doesn't want them to do, but without a consequence, they're going to try to do it. Now, here's what I want to say. None of us as believers are ever going to obey perfectly. But God wants his kids to have a heart of obedience. That when we make mistakes, or when we even, because of our immaturities, don't do it God's way, that we get back on track quickly with God. It's something that we decide ahead of time. Hey, I'm God's kid. I'm going to do things his way. Now, there is a cost. And the cost is this. If we want to partner with God, many times we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. That's what it boils down to. And we are also are often going to have to leave what we are doing to follow what God is doing. If you think about it, in the Old Testament, you see the king. You see King David. And by the way, if you don't know who King David is, that's okay. He's someone in the Old Testament who had a heart for God. And when God called David to be king, he was tending sheep. Think about it. And for him to be able to do what God wanted him to do, he had to leave whatever was comfortable, whatever he knew, to do stuff that he had no idea how to be a king. And it was going to be a tough job for him. Now, think about it. Do you want to live out your life as a sheep herder because it's more comfortable? Or would you rather partner with God and do something? See, that's what I want to partner with God, no matter how uncomfortable it is. I want to see some God do some things in my life, and I want to be a partner with him. I want you to know, some of you are saying, well, Art, Jonah was a prophet. The word of the Lord came to him. I mean, I don't get that. Hey, listen, the word of the Lord still comes to believers. You believe that? I hope you do. Because the word of God and the Spirit of God can speak to us today. And when they do, we better respond because we get to partner with God. We get to be in action with him to see something accomplished that needs to be accomplished. So, man, of course we obey God because he's God and we are his kids. But look at Jonah. God said to him, I have a job for you. I want you to do something. So this first issue, why obey God, is, man, we get to partner with him. But that's only the first reason. You see, we have to ask the question here, what happens if we don't obey? And if we don't obey, that brings us to a second reason why you would probably want to obey God. You know what the second reason is? Disobedience always distances us from God and from God's purposes. Look what it says in verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. You know, this, I thought English is interesting. He went to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Remember, Jonah's writing this book. He's just upfront about what he's doing here, what he did. And I'm indebted to Jonah a little bit because it's such a graphic, this disobedience is so graphic. Look what he's doing here. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. That's 500 miles to the east. So what does Jonah do? He gets a ticket for Tarshish, which is 2,500 miles to the west. He goes in exactly the opposite direction. In fact, Tarshish was probably like the end of the known world practically back then. And he does it for a real clear reason. He's running from God. So what does this scripture tell us? Man, when we resist the purposes of God in our life, when we are not obedient to him, we're just running away. We're creating distance between us and God. Now remember, I think all of you would agree, man, our relationship with God is the most important thing in our life. And as we obey God, we come to know him more and more. As we obey God, we see who he is revealed in greater ways. And instead of distance, we get closer to God. Think of the times that God has asked you to do something, and you did it, and you got a new revelation of who he was. 6-7 years ago when we did this building, Neil and I began to pray about what we should give to the building fund. And every time we prayed, the amount went up. I got to where I really didn't want to pray anymore about what to give because the amount went up every single time we prayed. And finally, we arrived at the figure, and we had this huge amount of money that we had pledged to the church. But guess what happened? Over 3 years, as we gave that money, what happened? We saw God's provision dramatically be fulfilled. I mean, dramatically, he provided for us. And we saw God in a new way. We were able to see him and as we pulled close to him. Man, that's the reason that obedience is so key to be intimate with God. Because as you obey him, you see more of him. In fact, look at John 14. I have it in your outline there. It's John 14, 21. It says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and what? Show myself to him. God shows, God reveals himself to those who love him enough to obey him. You see, it's absolutely connected in Scripture, this issue of God's revelation to you when you obey. And of course, the opposite happens too. If in our disobedience, we distance ourselves from God as well. Obedience, believe me, is always the best way to go, believer. As I look back over my life, the times that I've said yes to God, that's the time when I experience some aspect of his power, his personality in new ways. And I in awe, I'm able to draw close to God. You know, that's the reason, by the way, that I have never, ever been frightened about financial provisions for Lighthouse. Why? Because back in 1977, Dan, when I quit my job teaching, that's, I taught for 2 years, and then I had to quit my job. Why? Because Holy Spirit email appeared saying, Art, you're not going to be a teacher. I want you to stop teaching, and I want you to go do this drama music ministry thing where you're going to preach the gospel. Yeah, how is it going to be supported? Trust me. But there's nobody paying my salary. Trust me. So here we are, six of us quit our jobs, and we start this ministry. And then for 3 years, we do this. And for 3 years, we never miss a paycheck. It was close sometimes, but we never missed a paycheck. What did that tell me? Oh, God supports his work. God supports the things he calls you to do. And so I've never been worried about Lighthouse and what was happening there. Now think about this. We obey God, and not only do we not go far away, but we pull close and we see him in new ways. Think about the people you see in the Old and New Testament. What would have happened had Moses not obeyed God and gone and talked to Pharaoh? He would have missed demonstrations of God's power. He would have missed seeing who God was in even greater ways. Think about Paul. He sees the bright light and he comes to know Jesus. 3 days later, 3 months later, wouldn't it have been easy to say, you know, that really what happened there, you know, really. I mean, it's just a bright light. I don't know, you know, should I drop everything I'm doing and go preach the gospel to the Gentiles? It's definitely going to be out of my comfort zone. He could have done that. What would have happened? He would have missed everything that God was going to do in his life. He would have missed intimacy with God because of his disobedience. Listen, you really can't distance yourself physically from God. We know that. In fact, it even amazes me, why did Jonah run in the first place? Jonah is not dumb here. The scriptures, even in Psalm 139, says, wherever I go, there you are. So we know that Jonah probably, you know, Jonah knew that wherever he went, God would be. But then I think, okay, but I get it, God. Jonah ran away physically. There was actual literal distance. But people today, believers today, try to run away from him psychologically, spirit. They try to run away too. We know that we can't get away from God. And yet when we disobey him, we're trying to create distance from him. Now, we can't distance physically, but we know we can distance emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. When you disobey, in fact, that's what happens. You distance yourself from God. You know, it's like a few months ago, I had this illustration of those old football domes, football stadiums where they have this dome that goes. You can do that with God. Okay, God, I'm going to do my own thing now. Oh, God, surely God isn't, you know, I blocked them out now. So this distance that we create in disobedience moves us away from God. There's a huge case of disobedience in the Old Testament. Look at it in Deuteronomy 9. When the Lord sent you to Kadesh Barnea, he said, go and take possession of the land that was given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God You did not trust him. You did not obey him. Friends, I want you to remember something. When we tend to disobey God, you know what we're saying? We don't trust you. That's true even of moral and ethical boundaries. God's put moral and ethical boundaries in our lives in the Bible to make sure that the human machine works well. Okay? And when we say, no, God, I know better than you, these moral and ethical boundaries, they shouldn't apply to me because I know I could do better than this. Hey, listen, what's happening? You're not trusting God, that he's there for you, that he's right. And when it comes to a task that he has for us, like it was in Jonah here, we say no to God. We're saying, we don't trust you, God. It's going to be out of my comfort zone. I don't think I want to do it. Okay? So when we don't obey, we distance ourselves from God, but we also open ourselves up to something that none of us really wants. And that brings us down to the third reason why you would want to obey God. But he tells you to do something bad and you want to obey. Why? Because disobedience may bring God's discipline in your life. And I say may because I'm not God. And God is gracious sometimes, and we don't know when he's going to discipline us. But look what it says here. Now, I've got quite a long passage, but what I've done is I've, see those dots, ellipsis there? That means that I've skipped some material just for brevity's sake. So you can read it yourself if you have a Bible. But here's what I'm going to, on the outline, you see some portions that have been skipped. Look at verse 3. Jonah went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. Calamity, you know, the soldiers are just, or the sailors are doing what's natural. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they ask him, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble. And he answered, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord. Pick me up and throw me into the sea. It will become calm. I know it's my fault that all this great storm has come upon you. And then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, disobedience almost cost Jonah his life, but it definitely cost him a great deal of comfort. And I think this is ironic, because many times we disobey the Lord because we say, it's out of my comfort zone, I want to be happy, I want to do this, or whatever. But in the long run, disobedience to God causes a lot more discomfort, a lot more loss of peace in our life. God disciplines us as his kids when we disobey. Now, do you know what I have often thought about Jonah? What I've often thought is this: God, why didn't you just get another guy? I mean, did you really need Jonah to go out there and do this job? I mean, why did you say, well, Jonah's going to Tarshish, okay, fine. He wants to go directly opposite of my will, fine, I'll find somebody who can do the job. Why does he not do that? Well, the reason's, I think, pretty simple. The simple answer is, God is concerned about his relationship with you and me. It's a relationship that we have with our Father in heaven. It's the same reason that a parent does not say, well, this child is so wayward, let's give him up for adoption and get another kid. Does that sound right? No, I don't think so. We would never do that. Why? We love our children. They're our children. And we are going to work with them. Well, God does the same thing. We're not just a tool in God's hand. Oop, this tool broke. I think I'll get another tool. No. We're God's kids, and he loves us. And so he was doing this for Jonah's sake. God really does have a plan for us. He really does love us. And that means when we mess up, guess what's going to happen? When we mess up and stay messing up. I'm saying, you know, Jonah was resisting God on a pretty clear level here. What's going to happen? Potentially what's going to happen is we're going to get disciplined. Each of us has a Nineveh in our life, even right now. You have a Nineveh in your life. You know, he has something that he wants you to do. He has something that he wants you to be, and he's talking to you about it. Your current Nineveh, maybe your marriage, maybe it's a ministry that God's calling to you to. But when we find it difficult to do what God's telling us and we resist him and we kind of go our own way, God cares enough about us to do something about that. And you know what happens in this case? The discipline happened to be a raging sea and a big fish. That was God's provision for Jonah. Jonah, I love you too much to let you go out there and do your own thing, buddy. And so I got a storm and I got a fish for you. And here's the deal. God loves you and me enough. He loves us enough to do the exact same thing where he's going to say, okay, I'm going to provide something for my kid. Now, is it going to be a storm and a fish? Probably not. That is what I would call a somewhat unique disciplinary method. Parents, don't add that to your arsenal, all right? It's unique. What's God going to do today to discipline? I think, as I've thought about this a long time, God, I think, most often uses the everyday events in our lives to discipline us. He uses setbacks. He uses world events. He uses economic downturns. You name it. Because God is God. He can do whatever he wants. And he can move us out of things if he wants to move us out of those things. Discipline is not God's way of saying, I'm through with you. Discipline is God's way of saying, come back to me. Because I love you. It's a whole different deal. So it's an act of a loving God to bring us back to where he wants us to be. That's the reason C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our work. But he shouts to us in our pain. When we're in pain, what happens? Okay, God, I get it. You know, I'm going to go your direction. Yes, Lord. Many of us could recount times when we would not listen to God, we'd not pay attention to him, and then when the pain came, we said, yeah, God, I hear you. I hear you. I'm going to obey. Look at verse 12. Jonah says, I know it's my fault. Jonah, I know it's my fault. In other words, he knew that God was bringing him to discipline. Now, I want you to know, some of you here in this building are excessively hard on yourself all the time. You just think, you so want to do things the way God wants you to do them that any small thing that happens, you think, oh, I must not be pleasing the Lord. Listen, I don't want you to assume that your situation is tough when your situation is tough, that God is disciplining you. Sometimes a difficult life situation is just God testing you. And he loves you, and he also loves you enough to test you, to make you strong. So it isn't that every bad situation means that you're being disciplined. But here's the key. Look at what happened for Jonah. He knew why that storm was happening. He wasn't in the dark about this. He knew God was disciplining him. He knew about it. Our God is a gracious God. He'll let you know if he's just, you'll know. If you're being disciplined by God, you'll know if the consequences that you have in your life right now are God weighing and saying, come on, kid, come back to me now. You know, it's not fun out there, you know. Perhaps God is saying even to you, some of you today, come on, I want you to obey, come on back. And this pain is going to continue until you do what's necessary. Listen, obedience is always the best way to go. That's the message of today. Why? We get to partner with God. We get to avoid distancing ourselves from God, but we get to instead pull close to him, see him revealed in new ways. And also, we avoid something that none of us likes, and that's called discipline. Now, he's loving, he's gracious, he's going to help us. But there's one last reason to obey according to this passage, because we see it in this example. You know, the reason is just simply this. We avoid painful detours. Look what the scripture says. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, from the depths of the grave, I called for help. You listened to my cry. You hurled me into the very heart of the seas. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I hate it when that happens. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you in your holy temple. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out. Does the Bible have to say something like that? And it vomited onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. Now, if we're doing our own thing, especially when we harden our hearts to God's will, you can expect discipline. Okay, no doubt about that. But what happens in addition to that? It's just our lives are detoured. We waste time. We waste resources. We forfeit peace of mind and heart. We're on this detour, and so much is wasted in disobedience to God. And that certainly happened to Jonah here. I mean, God's standards aren't going to change. What he wants us to do is quite the same. Notice verse 3:1 here, or chapter 3, verse 1. The what happens? The word came a second time. Go to Nineveh. Do you think Jonah wasted a little time here? Think he got his detour, wasted some things? It did. Time, effort, money, peace of mind. Can you imagine a prophet, what his heart was doing when he said no to God? Give me that ticket. And you can almost choke it on the words. Give me that ticket to Tarshish. You know, it's hard to disobey God when you love him. Can you imagine the pain that was going on for him in all of this? He was wasting so much. Now, if you resisted God's will and you know your life is detoured, what's the solution? That's the other great thing about this passage. You know, it gives us the solution to the detour. Sometimes we Christians can feel that, man, we've been disobedient. We've done our own thing. Surely God will not ever now restore me. He can't forgive me. He won't help me to get back online with him. You know, I talked to many believers who said, well, years ago I did this, I resisted God, and now I know that my life is detoured beyond repair. Hey, listen, you don't know God if you think that. It's never too late for obedience. It's never too late for obedience. And since God is so gracious, you know, he has things for us to, he has ways of restoring it all. It is true that the longer you and I wait on obedience, the bigger the potential consequences. But even there, we serve a God who's a good God who will help us in all of that. He gives us a second chance. He gives us a third or fourth or an 18th chance, whatever that would be. I want you to notice the process here in Jonah of repentance. There's an expectation on Jonah's part. Look what the expectation is. He expects that if he changes his heart, that he could remember the Lord. And if he brought a change to the Lord would respond to him. He expected it. And I want you to expect it too. That, yeah, you're going your own way. Hey, but when I yield to God, I know that he will give me what I need. Verse 7 through 9 here gives us a picture of the turnaround. My life was ebbing away. I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you in the holy temple. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. Wow. Think about the clash of wills that must have been going on here. He's 3 days in the belly of a whale here. Ever wondered what's going on in there? I mean, what is going on for 3 days? What is going on emotionally? What is going on between him and God? What is going on? Well, I think the nature of true repentance tells us probably what was going on. Because true repentance not only means being sorry for your sins, it also means being willing to make a change. Being willing to do a turnaround. That is the definition of repentance. In Acts 3:19, Peter said it's feeling godly sorrow about what's separated you from God, but it's also turning around and doing the thing that God asked you to do. Now, I think of Jonah as a stubborn guy. I don't know how you read him. I think Jonah is a pretty stubborn guy. And I think he was in the belly of a whale for 3 days because it took him that long to repent. Me, if I'd have gotten in the belly of the whale, I would have gone, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry, I'll do whatever you say. Hey, that would have been me. But Jonah is a little more stubborn. And it takes him, apparently, 3 days to get to that spot. Now, some of you are saying, well, all right, I would have, you know, he really didn't have any choice, did he? I mean, whether it was 3 days or 6 days, I mean, he was eventually going to get there, right? No. Friends, I've been in ministry a long time, and I've always, part of my job is to try to help people. I want to help people. I want to serve God and love Him and be obedient to Him. And I have more than once seen somebody refuse God's plan for their life. Does it hurt them? Amazingly. Does it put them in a bad spot? Unbelievably. And yet they resist. And they keep resisting. I've seen this in marriage situations where someone just says, I'm going to do my own thing. I've seen it in many other situations. So, people can stay in the belly of a whale for the rest of their lives if they want to. But finally, you know, I got to hand it here to Jonah. He was stubborn, but at least he finally made the decision to repent. Notice the last few verses here. He says, man, what I vowed, I will make good. That's the essence of repentance. It's okay, God, not only am I sorry for disobeying you and for going my own direction, but Lord, I commit myself to doing things your way. What's the result? He gets a second chance. He gets a second chance to do what God wants him to do. Most people, by the way, believe that God will forgive them, but they don't really believe that God will restore them. And of course, I'm not God, so I can't tell you all that God will do in your life. But I do know there's a God of grace that we serve, and that He often brings some measure of restoration to us. You may have taken a detour even. You may be a runaway even right now. But Jonah illustrates God's ability to restore our lives and even give us opportunities to partner with Him in the days to come. We've come full circle here now with Jonah, haven't we? We've come full circle. He gets spewed out of that big fish. And then God says, what's the first thing He says to him? Poor baby, I know you, but that fish was so hard. And that's, you know, that stomach acid is so, it's really bad. Here, come, let me help you. No, what does He say? Go to Nineveh. I just think that's illustrative. Now, God, of course, you know, we serve a God, a loving God. What did He expect from Him, though? Go to Nineveh. You got a second chance here, child. I want you to go do it. Now, of course, his arms were around. We're going to see that in the next two chapters. His arms were around Jonah this whole time, but He never cut him any slack on obedience. He never cut him any slack on, here's what I want you to do. Do you ever remember, did any of you ever run away from home when you're kids? And it's really kind of a dumb idea. I never did because I've always been very practical. And I kind of thought it through ahead of time, and I never did that. Also, I don't have as wide a swings as emotionally as some people, you know. But my brother Dave ran away one time, and I asked him about it when he was an adult. He said, yeah. He was about 10 years old, and he ran away, and he said about three blocks away, I thought, where am I going to go? You know, there's no place to go, you know. And he's right, you know. And that's where we're all at, too, when we try to run away from God. Where are we going to go? Wherever we're going to be living on the streets spiritually. That's what's going to happen. And it's not a good place to be, believe me. It is not a good place to be. There's a God in heaven. What does He expect? He expects obedience from you and me. And here's the deal. Obedience is always the best way to go. It is. We get to partner with God. We get to pull close to God. We avoid, you know, the detours of life that are so painful. Obedience is where we grow and where we see God in new ways. Listen, I have a very simple message this morning. Here it is. Obedience is always the best way to go. It's the place where we see God in new ways and where he uses us in ways that sometimes we can't even imagine.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.